Hello and welcome to the Anite Podcast, Season 9, Episode 8. I'm your host, Hybrid Mink. In the room, we have Dr. Kev.
Good evening.
Requiem.
Hello.
And Gugsy.
Yo.
It is time to talk about the new anime season, but first we'll probably do some housekeeping and talk about some news. Not as heavy on news this time around, and then we'll go to the Anite community and see what they thought was left a lasting impression of the new shows. Let's get right into some housekeeping. What's going on anite.org, Dr. Kev?
Yep, so on our website, which as Hybrid says, anite.org, or for its longer Sunday name, it's medium.com/anite-official. There is actually content to read on the website this week, which is great. So first thing is our writer DJ Nipa, that man of many names, has been revisiting his top 100 anime list of 2024. Clearly this man does nothing other than watch anime. His life is otherwise empty.
Perfect.
So that's what we all aspire to be, is a sort of zen-like perfection. So yeah, go check that out. I wrote my traditional end of season post-mortem article, so a best of the season and a rest of the season one, so go have a look at my thoughts of that. Dark Aether has written his next radiant, I've called it an epistle here because it is starting to become religious. So go read that. I have to admit, because I've not seen the show, I have also not read this one. So if Radiant is your bag, go read Aether's deconstruction of that. I also just recently finished Persona 3 Reload, so I felt inspired to write something about that. It was around about Easter time, and I felt that the themes of death and sacrifice were quite apposite. And then I also recently watched Pompo the Cinephile, which is a delightful movie about the film industry. So I wrote a wee review about that. It's been a couple of years since I intended to watch that, so I'm glad to finally get around to it. So that's everything on Anite at the moment. I've written a bunch of things in Anime News Network. I hadn't realised quite how many things I had written. So this past 2 weeks alone, I've written five reviews of shows from Winter 2024. So that was Banished from the Heroes Party, Bottom Ooh. Tier Character, Tomozaki, The Weakest Tamer, Sasaki and Peeps, and Time for Torture Princess. I've written five things for the Spring 2024 Preview Guide, mainly sequels. That was Laid Back Camps, That Time I Was Reincarnated as a Slime, Duke of Death, Mushoku Tensei, Konosuba. And I've also just had published a review of two random films that turned up on Crunchyroll just on Friday, Kurayukaba and Kurameru Kagari, which interestingly enough just dropped onto Crunchyroll on the exact same day that they opened in Japanese theatres, which I think is new. So that was fun to write about a premiere. So there you are. There's a whole shit ton of stuff that I've written. It's no wonder I'm feeling tired.
How long did you say you wrote a wee review? Was it a wee review?
A wee review, just a very small one.
A wee review. By the way, I can't stand for this slander of my friend DJ Nipa. His life is not empty. He has a very burgeoning career running half marathons in a bear suit. So
yes.
Wow.
That is true. But that's definitely to do with the anime. It's done that to him.
It was definitely anime brain rot, but what are you gonna do?
It's part of the profession.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. It happens to all of us.
Yes.
It manifests itself in individual ways.
How long until you become the editor of Anime News Network?
I think
soon.
Some kind of death match for that.
Soon.
The current editor is scary. I wouldn't want to fight her.
Can you imagine him trying? Because he definitely tried to do it. Can you imagine Doc trying to like be a doctor and also run the whole website? Just doesn't sleep at all.
You have to abandon his kids and family.
That would kill me.
This is taking Zoom calls at 2 in the morning, Scotland time.
I mean, I've also been contributing to the upcoming spring manga guide, and also there are like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of stuff that need reviewed, and I keep getting pinged saying, well, more things have been added. It's like, I have a life, I can't review it anymore. And like, some of the other writers are like, yeah, I'm aiming to review 50 things this time. Like, I cannot do that. I've reviewed like 12, and that's I can't manage anymore.
Well, you know, there's some guys that work for ANN whose reviews are such horseshit, it's easy for them to pump it out. I'm not naming any names, Richard Eisenbeis, but...
Ooh, come on. I think Richard's reviews are just fine, thank you very much. But
with this, hey, if you need any help with, you know, the writing, you know, there's some people you can talk to.
I'd be happy to review My Hero Academia this season.
Yeah. Would you need help with that, Rec? I could definitely...
Yeah, we could do it together. It'd be great.
Put something together? Yeah.
You guys like that show so much.
Do. It's my favorite show.
I mean, if you fancy a trip to Toronto to interview the creator of Witch Hat Atelier, they're looking for someone to write about that.
Ugh, Toronto, Canadians.
Yeah, I don't know about going to Toronto. I'd love to talk to the guy from Witch Hat Atelier, though, because that series is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. It's really, really good. I would go, but it's in Canada, and I'm in Scotland. It's not just around the corner. But
it's poutine. Yeah. I'd do it.
There is poutine. There is. That is true. That would be a bonus.
Yep.
I mean, I like Canada. I've been to Toronto, but it's been a long time.
Maybe you can get a Luigi to drive to Toronto and Saskatoon are right next to each other, right?
Yeah, they're pretty close. Yeah, how far apart could they be?
So, not a big country tucked away down there.
Yeah. It could make it in an afternoon.
America's maybe. Hat.
Yep. Anyways. Do we know anybody that's watching that? Not even if they're not in this room. Anyone else watching the My Hero Academia season right now? It's like some recap thing.
They're doing like 4 recap episodes before the season itself starts, so I'm not bothering with them.
It's not new content at all.
No, there is no new content until May.
So. Well, there's not even like a framing device that's new content.
No idea.
Oh man, that sucks.
There's never any new content. It's just constantly repeating the same things over and over.
Well, that's that way I don't have to worry about watching.
Yeah, and then.
I think they're doing this because there's possibly not enough material to fill like another 2 full seasons. So they're doing a shorter season this time and possibly a shorter season next time, and they're just filling up time. They've probably bought up the time for the TV stations.
The manga's still going? I thought it was done.
Yes. No, it's not. Damn. It's not done.
All right. I feel like the story is at an end, from where they've hit, but I guess there's a lot more to tell.
It probably should be done by now, but I think the guys...
Is there a lot more to tell?
That's what I said. There's not much more to tell.
He's just
supposed to be like a big giant fight between the heroes and the villains, right? It's supposed to be like a big snap. That's what I know. Yeah, my understanding was there was like a years long arc of like a big final fight between everybody.
Because that's about a 3 or 4 year long arc now. So, yeah. But I mean, he's just about killing himself with overwork. So he keeps taking breaks because to keep himself alive. So it's taking longer than expected, I think.
Probably for the best.
I think I think it should have ended when they introduced the My Villain Academia. No one. Okay.
I don't think so. No, it's bad.
All right.
Sorry, that wasn't. I couldn't in good conscience go for that joke.
That arc was okay.
I feel your betrayal.
Oh man, I think we should maybe try and dive into some. Okay, before we dive into the new stuff. Is there anything we want to say about the finales from last season that we didn't get to talk about yet?
Besides Frieren and Apothecary Diaries?
Well, I mean, obviously, they're both great. So.
Yeah, actually.
They're both coming back, so that's good.
Yeah, we know they're coming back.
Sengoku Yoku was really good at the end of
that. Do we know for sure Frieren's coming back?
There's no way it's not coming back. It was big.
Yeah, it's way too popular.
Right, but I don't think there's... And nothing has been officially announced yet.
No, there's no official.
We've already got that confirmed.
I'm bummed Apothecary Diaries got... I mean, Apothecary Diaries got official announcement, and I'm happy about that, but I was bummed that it's not till 2025.
Yeah.
Doc was right, though. Sengoku Yoku had a fantastic finale that really put the show in a whole nother gear right as you didn't get any more.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, I've not read the manga, but I'd heard from people who have done that was the point that the story really kicks into gear. The first season is pretty much just prologue to the real story. So I'm really looking forward to that.
They definitely escalated the stakes there at the end.
They did. Yep. But they didn't tell us that they would be taking a season off, so it's not back again until July. So that ended. I was like, whoa, I need to watch the next episode. And it's, wait 3 months. Yep.
Reminds me of Tokyo Ghoul, where it was just like a mid-ass show, and then the finale was great, and then it became like the worst adaptation ever. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, because then they did Root, right? And then it was like some.
I don't even remember.
Everything that happened with Tokyo Ghoul was weird. Like all the choices they made were weird.
Yep.
Well, so Gokuyoku's manga's already finished, and they're adapting the entire thing in 37 episodes. So you don't have to worry about that.
Good.
Another 24 episodes to go.
Can't wait.
Other than that, I don't know. Want to get the new stuff? I guess nobody wants to do anything.
Do the new stuff?
You usually do news after a show.
No,
right?
I said new stuff.
Oh, new stuff. Okay.
New stuff.
Oh, then okay.
New stuff. Okay, sorry. I misunderstood.
Let's do that a couple more times. New stuff.
That's the new season, yo.
I can say crisps for you.
Like. Yes, but when you say crisps, do you mean french fries or potato chips?
I'm American. What do you think I mean?
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do Americans mean when they say crisps?
We're idiots. Don't listen to us.
Yeah. We don't say crisps as a rule, but generally I think we'd be talking about potato chips.
The correct way then. Okay.
Yeah, we just call them chips, though, and then, of course, french fries are just french fries.
Man, we are going on too many tangents. Let's move on.
Yes.
I wanted to do like sequels in the new shows, but the way we've all made our lists, it's just my brain is just melting. So instead, I'm just gonna randomly pick things. Let's see. I want to hear about some bad shows first. I heard that Bartender Glass of God was really bad, so I want to know, is it actually bad?
Really? No.
I heard you like it.
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's not like, oh my god, this is the best show ever. It's blowing the back of my head off, but it's not bad at all. It's perfectly fine. Okay. It may not be what that person wanted it to be, I guess.
I think I heard from Anime News Network they didn't really like it there. But
well, their opinions are worthless.
I trust them, though.
Did you see that list of worst shows of last season? It was almost all good shows.
Oh, shut up.
I don't know why.
No, this show is... It's very slow. It's very chill because it's like these people are trying to hire the world's greatest bartender and he keeps turning them down. And then he talks to somebody and he figures out what they need in a drink and he does it. And it's like, it's very serene, but it's a perfectly watchable show. There's nothing wrong with it. I rather enjoy it. It's a good thing to watch after like a show that's really emotional or really like action heavy. You get that little, like, it's a good chill out show.
Slice of life?
Extremely. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I want to watch this, but I want to watch the original one first. So there was a series, I think it was 2006. So I have it on Blu-ray. So I'm probably going to watch that first, and then I'll watch this next one.
But this is like a remake, so you'll probably end up repeating a lot of the same material.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to savor the original one first.
I will give them this. Like, they use like actual alcohol like brands. Like, it's not... Mm-hmm. If they put down Smirnoff, it's actually Smirnoff. It's not like Beer Muff, vodka. Or whatever, whatever.
Beer Muff.
Bob Creek, whiskey. No, it's actual brands and real actual cocktails. So if you're into cocktails at all, like Gugsy, you'd probably be into it.
The original Blu-ray comes with recipes for how to make said cocktail.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll only watch if they start making some shit with like Jim Beam.
Now you know what? That's entirely possible. I'm pretty sure I saw Jim Beam on the shelf back there. They draw the shit really well too. Yeah, I don't know why. Who told you it was bad? It's not bad. It's
again, it was just ANN.
Maybe it wasn't challenging enough for them.
Yeah, it wasn't deep. We need to get Dr. Kev on that review squad so I can really trust them.
I'm not sure I have enough time.
I always trust Dr. Kev's reviews, even when I disagree with them.
Okay,
so, which is most of the time.
It's about 50-50.
We got a lot of shows to get through. I want to get through some hot takes, short takes, whatever you call it. I actually saw that this was even worse reviewed, viral hit. What do you think, Rick?
Okay. You so, like it? Yes, but I'm going to say, like, I understand I understand why people would come to it and not like it. Get it.
Tell me why you think that and why you like it.
Well, because it's weird. It's very weird.
It's not good enough.
Like, it's obviously Korean. Like, I'm assuming it's a webtoon because the source is obviously Korean. But
like most popular line manga or something.
It's extremely weird, right? But that's the thing. I wrote this in the chat, but it's true. It's like it's both really absurd and way too real at the same time, because it's really all about kids and like popularity via YouTube, or as they call it, NewTube, because of course they can't just say
YouTube. That in the trailer. That was good.
And it's so like, obviously it's got bullying in it. Some people can't handle shows where people are getting bullied, and he ends up accidentally creating a viral sensation of himself by getting into fights on YouTube by accident. He got in a fight with a guy where he's beating him with kimchi, which I thought was really fucking funny.
Yeah. See, normally in a show where there's a lot of bullying, you would feel sympathy for the main character. But when I watch it, I hated every single person in the show. I wished nothing but the worst for everyone after watching.
There are a ton of immediate likable characters. That's true. The main guy, I kind of liked him. He's trying to figure his shit out. But it was so silly that I found it amusing, and I actually enjoyed it. But it's one of those shows where like either you're in or you're completely out. So I would not be surprised if someone else watched it and was like, fuck this nonsense.
All of them gave it one star. All their viewers gave it one star.
Oh, it's not the first time I've liked a show that everybody else hated. So, but I would say at least give it a shot, because it's so aggressively ridiculous that there are other people out there like me who will probably enjoy it.
If you're a hardcore Rex stan, you're going to like this show.
They do exist.
Everything is so unlikable. It's actually amazing how like much I disliked everything. It was both everything and everyone in that show. Ugh.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, we don't need to talk about that anymore. Get through the shit. Let's talk about something good that I'm pretty sure we all like. EuroCamp Season 3. Now, I was worried. The new studio, I don't love the artistic changes they made, but it's still good. It still has that same feel. Still get the warm feelings every time they go camping. But what do you guys think? Do you think this lives up to the previous seasons?
I love the show. I think the backgrounds look weird because they're essentially just filtered photographs.
They do look that way.
But apart from that, I love it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, because I think we might have a better perspective on this as an actual artist. I know it looks a little bit different, but I'm not like, I can't really like, would be able to tell you like, besides like, yeah, what Kev just said, that it looks like the backgrounds are filtered or something. But beyond that, I don't really know what the difference is, just that enough that my eyes know that it's different.
There's three things to me that really stand out. The backgrounds, of course. The way the character faces are drawn. They seem a little messier. And I guess the little chibi faces that they do, they're not drawn in a way that's as fun and silly. Like, they just seem, like, really clean. I don't know. They're really nitpicky issues that I have with it, that it just, like, drags the comedy down a tiny bit. But for the most part, it still feels the same. It's just every now and then I'm like, oh, that probably could have been done a little bit better. I don't know if it's probably a different director. Do we know it's... same director.
I think it's all new staff, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it has a different feel, but it still feels like laid back camp. So,
Are you offended as an artist by the photo scanned background?
Nah, I fucking do that myself. I'm a character artist. I don't have time for backgrounds half the time.
Lots of manga does that as well. So, especially if it's more complex architecture and stuff, they'll just use photos.
I definitely prefer the original, like, hand-drawn style, but whatever. It's fine. It doesn't bother me enough to hate the show.
I haven't watched it yet because I'm waiting. This is one of the shows I watch with my wife.
So it's trash, I understand.
Yeah. Well, no, I have to wait till she's ready to watch it. But So it started off good, right? I thought it was kind of weird to do another season of the show after we've already jumped forward in time with the movie.
The movie's non-canon, Rick.
Wait, that's
true. I guess technically.
Yeah, it's an anime original story. So there's more manga, so they're just continuing to adapt the manga where they left off at the end of season two, so it's fine.
Yeah. All right, that works for me. It's an alternate view. It's a potential alternate future.
Yeah. It's a fun alternate future. I like the film.
Good episode. Oh, yeah, the movie was great. But, So these episodes are good. There's no noticeable dip in quality.
I don't think so.
Change in style more than dip in
quality. Yeah, I'd say Rec, because I don't really know like the art that well, but it's noticeable enough for it to be like, huh, that's different, but not in like a bad way. But just
you see, like you recognize the change, but it's not like that's bad.
Yeah.
So it's not like season 4 of High School DxD.
It's not like no One Punch idea. Man season two.
See, I didn't have a problem with One Punch Man. Fine,
but not as good, you know?
I didn't have a problem with season two of One Punch Man, like everybody else did. Like, obviously it wasn't as good, but my point has always been that it couldn't be.
Eurocamp never had balls-to-the-wall action scenes that were just so intense that made you sweat. So,
well, except when dogs attacked kids.
Yeah.
Or when eyes popped out of her head. Which is like the best GIF ever. I really think Eurocamp is the single best GIF-producing show of all time.
Probably. And if you like Chikuwa, there's lots of Chikuwa in the most recent
episode. I do like Chikuwa.
Mm-hmm. Chikuwa stands arise.
Who doesn't like a cute dog who often wears like a coat?
Yeah. I'm gonna say it. I think the dog is not as cute this season.
Oh.
Not quite as cute. I don't know. They just didn't do it.
You're gonna get murdered on Twitter now.
Wait. People are wrong. That dog is just not as cute this time. They fucked up.
Like, dog got attacked for saying smoking is bad. How bad do you think you're gonna get it for saying a dog isn't cute?
No. The Chikuwa was so cute that I'm disappointed in the changes. You don't see what I'm saying? Okay.
Do you want a hot take? I don't particularly care for Chikuwa.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Way hotter.
No, dude, I don't know. Chihuahuas don't do it for me.
But it's a cuter Chihuahua.
It's just an overgrown rat.
I thought Sorry. It was a Pomeranian.
I was aware there was many things wrong with Gugsy, but this is just the worst so far.
They gave him a little camping bed.
It's a little tent. It's adorable.
I'm a fan of most dogs. I'm just not a fan of the rat one.
Look like Are you a fan of the dog in Fallout? The new show? Because that dog is awesome.
I don't know any. I've not played any Fallout.
This is the show on Amazon Prime.
I have not.
Shut up.
Why not? You don't want to talk about Fallout? Let's talk about Fallout.
No. This is an anime podcast.
It's got a great dog.
I can't tell you, but I can tell you that this one, a bit too much of a rat for me.
All right. So the episode title for this episode is Gugsy Hates Dogs.
Yeah. Okay with that.
Gugsy's latest war crime.
Okay.
All right. You want to do a sequel next or a new show?
Oh, well, let's do a sequel. We just did a sequel.
Yeah, so let's do a new show. That's a good point. Let's go back.
All right. Who? I just watched. Shit. What's it called? Kaiju number 8 last night. Anyone else watch it?
Yeah. Saw that.
Pretty good. Yeah. It was like Toho and Production IG. It was like, I don't know if they've worked together before, but it's like, oh, that makes sense for this type of show. And I think we really need an episode 2 to really see where the show's going. But yeah, so far, a lot of animated shit flying everywhere. Gotta love that.
The gore going everywhere.
Pixelated shit, just like the manga. Is that amazing? Yeah.
But not like shock value gore, which we tend to sometimes get. It's like, no, it's like, well, this thing is being eviscerated because the cleanup crew has to get rid of it. And you know, I probably thought about it once in a while, but like, how long does it take to clean up that gigantic monster? How do they get it out of there? Because like a week later, Tokyo's just fine. Like, what happened?
I mean, you know, there's multiple places that have like, there's another comic about Kaiju that dealt with that kind of thing. And then there's the damage control comics back in the day that all dealt with cleaning up after superhero fights and monster attacks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an area we've been there before. It's always funny. I mean, it was a major plot point in Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah. Realistically, that one attack would probably take months to clean up.
If not years.
They do it in a week. So,
well, I mean, at this point, they've learned how to do it, right? So they've streamlined the process a little bit.
I can't
get in there with a chainsaw and start cutting those intestines.
Need the heat gun.
Can you just imagine how much that fucking smells?
No, I want
no. Yeah. Yeah, I love these kinds of animes that are like, It's not the cool stuff. It's the cool stuff adjacent. I think one of the best examples of this kind of anime is Planets, where it's like, like you're in space, but we're not following all the cool space stuff. You're following the space janitor. Here it's like we're not following around the people who deal with the kaijus. We watch the people who have to clean up all the kaiju.
It's kind of like the lower decks of Godzilla.
Yeah.
I think we are going to, after this episode, follow the people fighting the kaiju.
Yeah, where it's going, obviously.
But I mean, there's a pretty big twist that, I mean, it's hard not to spoil it because it's the name of the main character.
Mm-hmm.
once you hear what his name is, you'll know what the twist is.
Yeah, they weren't real subtle with that one.
So I don't even know what
his name is. Kafka, very Japanese name.
Yeah, I mean, this is a superhero origin story, basically. That's the kind of genre that we're going for. It's the manga for this is just superb. It's so much fun.
Compared to Pacific Rim and Attack on Titan. I'm like, oh, of course you compare it to that. And then I watched everyone. It, I'm like, oh, that's about right.
Everyone's comparing it to Attack on Titan because like they're fighting a monster and then he turns into a monster. And I'm like, except for that particular commonality, this has absolutely nothing to do with Attack on Titan.
Oh no, no, they all
because
jump
it's
down,
good.
The corpse jump down and then they take it down to, like with the special weapons. I'm like, oh, this does feel like Attack on Titan.
It doesn't to me, probably because it didn't suck.
Thematically and tonally, it's completely different. It's nowhere near as nihilistic
as
Attack on Titan.
Which I'm happy for.
There's no basement.
Not yet.
There's scarves.
There's no scarves. There's no emotionally stunted Asian girl. And there's none of that stuff.
Well, there is a big giant tiger.
I am very excited to find out what's going on with the tiger.
I have no idea what's going on with the tiger, and I've read the manga, so I don't know.
Just shows up with this. What I love is she shows up with the tiger, and no one says, "Hey, what's up with the tiger?"
What's up with that? Is an editor at Shonen Jump's like, "Yo, put a tiger in here."
Probably.
We need a tiger. We need a tiger to sell them tiger merch.
Like, well, we have 27-year-old lead characters. We need to have a younger kid to appeal to the younger audience, and then just throw a tiger in it. So it works for me.
Yeah, you can tell how much we love the tiger because we're talking about it this much, and it gets like maybe 2 seconds of screen time.
Yeah.
Well, because like. Cool. It's just because if you're like me and you didn't read any, you've only read ever snippets of the manga because people kept showing them to you. And then you watch it the first time, I'm like, why the fuck did you have a tiger? It's so incongruous. Incongruous? I can't pronounce that correctly.
Incongruous, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, what the fuck is there a tiger there? And they don't, the thing is like, nobody reacts to it. That's what made it funny. Like, of course you have a tiger. You shoot giant kaiju for the government and you have a tiger. Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad that a show that was really hyped up ended up being good. It's really lame when we get like, oh man, countdown timer to the new show. And it's just like, this is trash. Like, Solo Leveling was fine. But
to be fair, we're one episode in.
Yeah. We have no idea where it's going. I hope it keeps it up. I trust IG. Usually they nail it. So.
But then we did get a couple of shows recently. The first episode of Chainsaw Man didn't exactly like blow up. And the first episode of Helk was like, why is this show popular?
Popular.
Yeah. Helk is very popular. I heard so about Helk for years before it got an anime, and then I watched it. I was like, "Does this get good at some point?" And it did right before it ended.
Weird.
End credits. Oh, okay.
Yeah, basically, it was like, "Oh, okay, this is starting to get good." Oh, wait, it's over.
It was like when you're a comedian, you end on a high note. Like that. Thanks, everybody. They knew what they were doing.
It was closer to be like you start building up to like. Oh, he's really getting into his good material, and then he just walks off the stage. It's like, I might come back later.
Hmm.
I'm going to pretend we've been talking about the tiger up until now, so we can have an amazing transition to Go-Go Loser Ranger.
Go-Go Loser Ranger is another thing I've heard about a bunch, where people are like, oh, this is really good. It's also on Hulu. Hulu / Disney Plus, if you're in Doc's territory,
yeah.
Has more shows this season than High Dive does.
Really
High Dive has 2 and Hulu has 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also has Mission.
Crunchyroll has like 40.
Well, yeah, Crunchyroll has almost all of them, but it's like Hulu has this and Mission Yozakura Family and The Fable. So if you wondered what happened to the show, that's where it is. But
you can watch it. I think it's worth it. It was one of my favorite new premieres.
Oh, yeah. It's such a great idea. A lot of it gives me vibes of Love After World Domination. They're having fun with the whole Sentai setup, but like where they're actually kind of the bad guys and they're just going through the motions and he's like, fuck this, I'm taking it down from the inside.
I feel like these shows typically have a really low budget, and this show, like, no. Tiger and Bunny Studio worked on this. I immediately recognized the Tiger and Bunny relationship with, like, the whole, like, show aspect of it, and, like, the heroes are just kind of, like, movie stars or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess it's, like, some people that worked on that also worked on this.
Yeah, it's a really good first episode. Like, I was very, very hooked immediately, and it did look, like, outstanding.
And I love the ending. Showed animatics and storyboards of every major scene. And it was like, wow, okay, they're really showing it off. I like it.
Can I say that Disney Plus is absolutely shit at letting people know that this stuff is even there? Because I wondered where this show even was. I did not know it was on Disney Plus. You know, every single anime thing that Disney have done so far is on like my watch list on here. So you would think that they would at least recommend these things, but no.
No, the only reason I found them is I went to Hulu, I went to anime, and it was like, oh, here's the new anime. I'm like, what the fuck? Well, why are these on my front page?
It doesn't even have an anime section. That's true.
Yeah, it sucks.
I think they're trying to corner the Japanese market, and they don't really care about the Western market, but they're putting out some of the best stuff over the last couple of years. It's just, I wish more people were seeing it.
Yeah, they keep getting the good shit.
Yeah.
Like Hulu had Heavenly Delusion, and they didn't, they not only did they not, which was fantastic, it was my anime of the year, but not only did they not promote it, they didn't even translate the title.
Oh, yeah, it's unfortunate.
And outside of the US, Undead Unlock is just now on episode 13. Mm-hmm. they took about 2.5 months to start streaming it compared to Hulu, and then randomly just stopped at episode 11. Didn't tell anyone why. There was no new episodes for about 6 weeks, and then episode 12 just sort of got shut out quietly. Nobody even noticed.
I wanted to talk to you about that show, Doc, because I was in the Hulu anime section watching the new stuff. I started watching that. That show's really good.
It's fantastic, and I'm only halfway through it, and I'm so annoyed. It's really hard to keep away from spoilers.
I finished what's available, and it maintains quality. It stays good.
Yeah.
It's really fucking good. It's like, I just love the guy. He's like, well, touching you brought this to happen. Let's bang. I'm like, okay, you got to respect it.
But it's not a super horny show. It's just like little bits like that every now and then.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's not as horny as I expected from that first, a little bit.
It's good and not.
Although the guy is naked a lot.
He gets a special sentient suit. never mind.
The thing where he does, where he flies around by shooting out his blood, is fucking hilarious.
Don't stop.
What is happening in the show? What?
The guy's he's undead. He's undead, so he regenerates, and he uses the regeneration to do stuff like throw his body parts or use the blood shooting out of a cut off limb to propel himself across the ground.
Oh, this show, right? Okay.
It shows nuts. It's great, though. It really is. I really enjoyed it. The four episodes I saw so far.
Talked about it on the podcast a few times. Go check it out. It's just some weird, weird premises. Not just the main character, but the world around him. All the lore is very interesting.
Oh yeah, they built themselves a very interesting world overall. Every character is neat. That's what's so great so far.
All right.
What were we talking about?
Go-Go Loser Ranger.
Go-Go Loser Ranger. Once again, it's only been one episode, but if you're like me and you love anything involving Sentai stuff, especially send-ups of it, this is going to be good.
Somebody deleted my list of shows, so now I don't remember what I had next.
Oh, no.
But I will say that, it was my favorite premiere of the season. I recommend it. Oh, we didn't really say the premise. Quickly, it's basically... if all the bad guys in the Sentai show were defeated right off the bat and the putties were just kind of left alone to their devices, and then the Rangers made a deal with them to have a weekly show where they would pretend to be a monster of the week, and then one of the putties gets sick of it and he's, well, I won't spoil anymore, but that's basically the premise. That's it.
If you gave me a Power Rangers season where one of the putties or cogs or the mobs basically decided, fuck this, I'm going to infiltrate the Rangers and take them down, I would watch that so much.
It's a cool premise. All right. I want to talk about how much I love Sound Euphonium. Who's with me?
I've never watched it.
What? It's your show. You should watch this.
I probably would watch it, but Crunchyroll in the UK aren't streaming the goddamn movies.
Blu-rays.
Well, I can buy one of them, so I've got Liz and the Blue Bird, but the other movie...
Not really Sound Euphonium.
The one that's between season 2 and season 3, which is important for the plot, is not there, and neither is the OVA. So, screw Crunchyroll. Until they can provide those things for me, I am boycotting this program.
All right.
Oh, harsh.
Bear, watch yourself, Hybrid. You shit on Liz and the Blue Bird. Luigi
will shitting on it. You. I'm saying it's not the main story. It's great. I do not put words in my mouth. I think Liz Bluebird is great. You got to watch
it. I have been told that it is essential viewing. Yes. As I've been told that multiple times.
It is. That is what I've been saying. Told. Well. All right, never mind. Fine, I'll just backpedal. I didn't mean it. There you go.
Yeah, I am in the process of finding these movies on the high seas. Because again, this is essential viewing to watch the new season. So.
I didn't realize that refuses.
Did you hear that, Crunchyroll? All of Scotland is boycotting you.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the OVA came out last year. So I watched that first. So when I watched season three, like a week later, it wasn't as big of like, oh, it's been so long. Like, oh no, I just watched the OVA last time. And basically the main character is now the what's the word I'm looking for? The president, captain of the team.
Yeah.
So now she's like, she has more agency over what's going on with everything. And just all the characters that had issues before, we've all kind of like moved on and gotten better. So I'm wondering what they're going to do to change things up. And lo and behold, we have a new character. So I don't know what's going to happen with that new character, but they had a very Yuri intro for her. So I don't know. Just saying.
Oh, what, in Sound Euphonium, Yuri?
Yeah, I know, right? A little bit of subtext there.
Never gets paid off.
I don't want to hear rec talk for the next 5 minutes. So, Kumiko, one of the best characters in anime ever. I love just all the nuance, the way she talks to different people. I know I've, over like the last 6 years, done this podcast. Oh my God. I've just talked about how much I love how this character is interpreted. Probably working her way up to be my favorite Japanese voice actor as well. I just love everything she does. She's hilarious. And then her interactions with Reina are just great. Like, oh, it could be more than friendship, but even if it's just friendship, it is just a really sweet, nice relationship that they have. And it doesn't even really matter, like they could just like sit in class and not even play any instruments and like, yep, I just love watching these characters interact. And also get a little more serious, the whole situation with, you know, the tragedy that happened because of the person with Sound Euphonium. The show is just not lost anything. It's just still just as amazing as it was previous seasons. And yeah, I recently have been looking at my own personal top list. I have like a anime database with like 200 shows. Whenever people ask me for recommendations, I just like look to that. And I'm like, why is Sound Euphonium like number 8 on my list? This is crazy. And then I watched it. I'm like, oh, okay. I remember now. It's just the characters and the everything. Everything about this show is great. And I love Kyoto Studio. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Kyoto Animation back at it again.
Yeah, I love it.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Back.
Yep. There's so many little details that they do with that show that just makes it just stand out so much more than just other anime in general. I mean, mm-hmm. Well, first of all, her hair poofs. Just yes. Everything to do with her hair is great. And she always has these like little noises she makes with little reactions that are just, you don't see lesser shows just like wouldn't bother to include. It's so well done. And I can't wait to get to the next season whenever I finally get to watching these movies.
Where are you? Screw
you, Crunchyroll.
Where are you at?
I have to do Liz and the Bluebird. I have to do the third movie. And then there's apparently an OVA that I also have to find.
Yeah.
So there's movies, and then the most recent OVA was like a transitionary period to from their second to third year. So yeah, it's all essential.
I realize. So I gotta do that somehow, some way on the seas.
We don't know what that means. I assume that means you're taking a boat to Japan and buying a Blu-ray. But
yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, still great. Boy, I wish I saw my shit. You know what? Dr. Kev watched a show that I watched. Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night. What'd you think of it?
Oh, I love this. This looks great. I am a bit of a sucker for these musical-based things, which is probably why I'd love Sound Euphonium. Mm-hmm. But I love the characters. It looks great. It does remind me a wee bit of some of the parts of your boy Kong Ming, just with an up-and-coming singer girly who has dreams and stuff and wants to have a team of people around her with different skills and stuff. So it's about the main viewpoint character is this girl who is an artist but hasn't drawn in quite a while. She's lost her confidence and just feels that she has to be normal and just study for exams like everyone else. But she meets this girl who is a failed idol singer. She got kicked out of her band for, I think, punching one of the other girls, and she's just been singing on the streets and stuff like that. So they get together. The singer's inspired by this girl's art, and they agree to work together. And then the second episode, there's this sort of crazed fan girl who's also an incredibly accomplished pianist and composer. So presumably they're all going to get together to do stuff. And there's also the suggestion there might be a fourth girl, like a VTuber or something, who's going to somehow be involved too. This is just a delightful show. It's really, really entertaining. I don't know. What do you think, Hybrid?
I think the VTuber is probably like the pink-haired girl we saw her talking about. I've only seen the first episode.
All right. Okay. Sorry.
So I always... I always resonate with shows about artists. Don't ask me why. I still don't know.
It's a mystery.
It's always weird to me as a late 30s man. These kids just like, oh man, I used to be this kind of person. I'm like, that was 1 year ago. Nothing. You are so young. What do you know?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of that in the show, and there's some weird pervy stuff in the beginning of the first episode. But I don't think they go back to that.
No.
Other than that, yeah, it is. It is always nice to see a lapsed artist get back into it. I do like that type of story, and the forming of friendships on common grounds like this is really nice. And then you get like the quirkiness of the characters is pretty nice too. I like it. You know, I don't love it yet, but I think it's pretty good.
There's a formula to these kind of things. You see it in sports anime as well. You know, I've not played football in such a long time, and because I hurt my leg or something, and then they get back into it. So it's a bit like that, but for music.
Yeah.
So is this like a forming the band sort of thing?
Yeah.
What they're doing?
Yeah, pretty much. And I think this one is written by the same guy who did bottom tier character Tomozaki. I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. The character writing is good. It is. This might be my favorite premiere so far.
She does call herself a high school girl like 8 times in the premiere. I started counting. It's like, I'm just a regular high school girl. I'm like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. But other than that, that's like really bothered me.
Definitely a worthwhile show. It's on High Dive, and it, you know, it's beautiful. It's really pretty. I mean, I'm not really an accomplished artist like Hybrid, so maybe he thinks it looks like shit, but I think it looks wonderful.
Accomplished is not an accurate term, but yes, I do. Yeah. You know, the colors are really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. These colors pop.
I think a part of the reason why you think it looks like my boy, what's his Kyoming? What's his name?
Kyoming.
Kong Ming.
I want to get it right. I think it's because like the main character has like a really the secondary character has like a similar fashion sense.
She does, yeah, yeah, that's right. I love that show.
Yep. Live action when? When was coming out?
Ooh.
How about Spice and Wolf? Anyone watch the remake reboot of that?
Not yet.
I watched the first episode. Have... Two episodes. What's up? What do you think?
This one also has a really huge change of art between the original and this one here, which makes sense. The original was what, 15 years ago? Times
have
changed.
Noses have gotten smaller. Eyes have gotten more colorful. Gradients are being used.
A lot more CG in general, I guess.
I don't remember a lot of like character CG though.
Yeah, I find myself just constantly debating, like, is this better or worse than the previous one? And I just change my mind every 30 seconds. Or at least better looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch much of the original. I kind of found it boring, but maybe my tastes have changed since then. I don't know.
Yeah, I watched the original a long time ago, so I don't really remember many of the details. I vaguely remember this is kind of how it started, but this is the specifics so far. Blah.
One thing is certain, though, Hollow is cute.
I mean, there is no defense to Hollow. No. Holo? Hollow?
I think it's Hollow. Holo. Shit. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Tomato, anyway. Tomato, potato.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a good start. Just the art confusion in my head, notwithstanding. But, yeah. It's everything you liked from the original Spice and Wolf just back in your life.
Economics and maybe some politics. A lot of weed.
Yeah, talking wolf girl. It's very cute.
Times. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. It's hard. It's like not a super exciting show. Hard to talk about other than, yeah, it's like a slice of life drama. Lighthearted. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I guess we can listen to Rec talk about some.
Well, it didn't really strike me as a story that needed to be remade, to be honest with you.
No,
that's why I haven't watched it.
Not really, but we'll take it. We'll take it anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Also, so interesting that they talk about like it's a complete remake, not even like a sequel.
Yeah.
But okay.
Which is weird because there is a sequel manga with their daughter. I don't know why they didn't just go on to that.
Since it's been so long, and they're like, oh, well, a lot of people don't remember that story, or we have some new audiences to get in.
Really, I feel like whenever I see pictures from like AX or whatever, there's always at least still a few Hollows out there.
That reminds me, the first episode of the new show starts with her, I believe, talking to her daughter and recounting her tales. So, not T-A-I-L, T-A-L-E. Which is one.
Yes, we got it.
Yep. All right. Well, Rec and Dr. Kev both seem to want to talk about Train to the End of the World, so I want to know what the hell this is all about.
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, no idea, but it's fucking awesome.
It is.
Oh, okay.
It's so weird. Like if you remember Girls Last Tour?
Hmm.
Imagine if Girls Last Tour was even weirder, but was a little less depressing.
If the creator of Girls Last Tour was just permanently high.
There's a lot of drugs involved in the creation of this show, I'm quite certain. My favorite part is that they created 7G and that actually destroyed the world.
Yeah. It's a cell phone network. It destroyed everything.
Yeah.
Like, we have new 7G, connects brains, and everything went to shit.
Yeah, basically the plot of the show is that, yeah, someone created 7G but didn't realize the whole world would turn into just complete chaos. And then years later, some girls are on a trip, just a random train to find one of their friends in this just completely fucked up, doesn't make any sense world.
Yeah, like the world's been stretched out of shape, so nothing's close to one another anymore. So what should have been like an afternoon's train journey is probably going to take them weeks. And just, you know, they're meant to be crossing this little small lake, and it's like a massive sea with this just a little wee train track through the middle of it. It's bizarre, and all the adults in their village have all turned into random animals for whatever reason. I think when you turn, is it 21 or something, you turn into an animal? I can't remember what they said.
When you hit 21, you turn into an animal.
Yeah. So probably good to be out of there. But the first scene of the first episode is just incredible. This random schoolgirl who just gets off a train and is suddenly scooped up into the sky by this like random thing. It's like an elevator. Takes her to the top of the skyscraper, and this guy's like, "Yeah, we're gonna launch the 7G network, and you've been chosen because you're the 7.777 millionth person to attend here. And if you press this button, then you'll unleash 7G upon the world. Do it!" And she's like, "Pardon? What?" And then she presses the button, and the world sort of melts. It's amazing.
I saw a trailer. Is this like the Sanzaro or whatever anime? It was like the, what's that logo where like the little weird monkeys walk in?
Sanzaro?
Is that it? Is this that one?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't remember the name of that anime. Damn it.
Such a trip. Like it's such, yeah. It's so weird, but it's so engaging. Like everything's interesting. Mm. It's super colorful. You can't predict where it's going to go because it's so fucking weird.
I mean, you don't need to do drugs. You can just watch this.
Yeah, seriously. It's probably got to be about the same as doing mushrooms.
Yeah, definitely. good mushrooms.
Yeah, the good shit.
It's a good trip. Yeah,
I love the guy who was out on like the swan paddle boat. He's like, "Here's my map." And the map is just like pictures drawn. It's completely fucking worthless.
Very
strange. I mean, there's a conductor who's a dog for 95% of the day, and then someone puts his hat on him, and he turns into the conductor for like 2 minutes. And like gives the girls
5 minutes a day, he turns back into the normal conductor. The rest of it, he's an old man walking around going choo choo.
Yeah, he thinks he's a train. It's not that he thinks he's a dog. He goes choo 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 choo.
By the way, what do you think about this dog in this show, Gugs? Did you hate this dog too?
No, this is a good dog.
It's a quality dog. Yeah. Shiba Inu.
You can't be upset with those. That's a quality dog.
I have no idea where the show is going, and that's great. No, I love that.
We don't know what the next episode is going to be. Like the show, it could be completely. I don't know. I mean, they introduced that there's mushroom people or whatever.
Yeah, they could get to a town and they could all be talking hot dogs, and I'd be like, oh yeah, sure, that makes perfect sense for the show.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on with the mushroom people, because they leave the second episode with that. These people with like mushrooms growing out of their head, are they mind control mushrooms? I don't know. I'm terrified to find out.
Maybe it's like Last of Us.
It could be. Oh, God.
Like they're actually mushrooms with people growing out of them.
Oh, that's unsettling.
Yeah, you know what? And then the show, that's the thing is when you set up a show like this, you can do anything you want and it makes sense in the world. That's the little elastic universe they build for themselves and it's fucking great. It feels like a Trigger show. It isn't, but it feels like one.
Look, I'm going to watch it. You don't have to keep piling it on. I put it on my watch list. I'm going to check it out.
It's fucking weird. I've seen your watch list. It has like 700 shows on it.
What? Mine?
Yes.
I want to watch Invincible. Is that an anime?
No, it's not good.
I watched Blue Eyed Samurai. That was pretty good.
Oh, dude, that's so good.
Yeah. I need another season. That's the way it ends. I'm like, yo, I need more.
I've been trying to proselytize for that show for a year now. Like, I'm like, guys, watch it. Watch Blue Eyed Samurai. It's so good.
People not watching it?
No, not enough people.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Some of the character faces of like, if you're into the anime, you're like, oh, that's not cute. But it's like, nah, everything else, everything is like beautiful otherwise. It is like a weird CG, I think. It's very unique art style.
Yeah, it's a CG assisted at the very least. It has like, I mean, when it cut to its first sex scene, it threw me off. I was like, holy crap, they really animated
that. So much nudity. There's so many dicks.
So much dick.
There's one scene where like an entire town of naked people go running. It's crazy.
Yeah, but most of them are like not attractive.
No, no one's attractive in this show. The main, I'm not going to say the main girl because the main, Akemi, she's like, it looks like they're trying to make her look kind of anime the way they make her face, like design it. But like, it just looks weird. I don't know. But that doesn't really detract from the quality of the show.
No, the show's great.
Anyways, that's not anime. But if you like anime, you and animation.
It's not right. Anime, but it's so heavily anime inspired.
Yep.
It's like Avatar. Like Avatar's not anime, but it's pretty clear where they were trying to do
And George Takei is in it.
He is in it because it's a Western production featuring Asian characters. So George Takei has to be in there somewhere.
You have to do it. He's still alive. Once he's gone, well, he'll live forever. Probably.
Well,
we've been going for a bit, but I feel like we still need a couple more shows we need to add. So do we all have just like one more show we want to add to the, like a recommendations or some hot takes we got? Actually, you can save your hot takes for the topic of the show. So,
but, go ahead, Doc.
So can I mention Astronaute?
Yes,
which, you if you're watching, I don't know if anybody else is watching this.
Oh, I didn't think anybody else was going to watch that.
Yeah, I really like this. Partly because I just adore the design of the main female character. She's so bloody cute. It's like if Meizu no Koku was crossed with Urusei Yatsura, which are both Rumiko Takahashi things. But it's really like a delightful romantic comedy things, brightly coloured. It's set in a sort of boarding house place with some very colourful characters, some of whom are very reminiscent of Meizu no Koku. And there's, you know, one of the main characters is an alien. And has no idea how to function in modern Japanese society.
I'm sure your love of the main character's design has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that she has pink hair.
Yeah, nothing. It can't be. It's not really
zero.
That may have something to do with it. But she does remind me a lot of is it Kyoko from Meizu no Koku? She has like an apron and everything.
No. Like when I first started watching the first episode, I'm like, this feels like a Takahashi show.
Hmm.
Like this is a very 80s anime concept. Like guy moves in to kooky boarding house, falls in love with the proprietress. Mm. Turns out she's an alien. I'm sure everybody in the show's got some bullshit going on.
Yeah,
it is a lot. It does feel very old school, but it is really fun.
It does. And the opening song is incredibly retro as well. I mean, it's deliberately going for those vibes. It knows what it's doing.
What kills me is like naming stuff. Name like the aliens have names that immediately lead to misunderstandings.
Yes, that's amazing. So she's from
planet, aliens widow.
Planet Wid, so she's a widow. And then there's Planet Hub and their hubbies.
So all this poor master hears is about widows and hubbies, and he's completely confused.
And then her poodle is actually a sentient alien creature.
I love the poodle. The poodle having to put up with being walked by other guy because he thinks he's a real dog is just it reminds me of Iago and he having to eat the fucking crackers because he had to pretend to be a parrot.
Because he was a parrot.
I know, but like he had to pretend he was a regular parrot. He didn't want them damn crackers.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this isn't a challenging or intellectual show at all. It's so derivative of a bunch of other stuff, but I've really liked it. It's fun. I'm going to keep watching it because I'm in love with the main character. I think she's lovely.
It is derivative of other shows, but they picked really good things to take.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what they say, you know, good art is borrow and great art is steal.
Mm-hmm.
Who says that? Who said that? Who told you?
I think it was Benjamin Franklin. I can't remember who said it. Oh, you know, it was Picasso. Picasso said that.
Crazy. But a visionary. This show sounds like Men in Black. Is it like Men in Black?
No.
The government's not involved at all. No, it's like he's right. It's like Mason Ikkaku if it had Lum in it, basically.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But the premise of like quirky aliens and misunderstandings. Yeah, I don't know.
It's extremely quirky. The romance article so far is just there for laughs. They haven't done anything with it really, but I assume that's where the main thrust will go.
It's super cute. Yeah.
Okay. Breck, anything from your wall of text that you want to talk about?
Yeah. I want to talk about another show that is on Hulu/Disney+. I mean, I assume it's on Disney+ outside the United States. Yeah, Mission Yozakura Family.
Mm-hmm. It's there.
It's another show that feels like a kind of like a throwback to older stuff because it's like, you know, guy is in love with his childhood friend and it turns out her family is insane. In this case, her family is all super powered. Like, remember the Phantom Troop from Hunter x Hunter? Imagine if, like, you were trying to marry into that and they were all related. Because that's what's like. Her family are all these, they call them spies. And they actually, I thought that was a translation, but they're saying the word spy in English in the show. So they mean spy. But they're all, like, super powered spies, right? And her brother is one of her brothers is super hyper protective of his childhood friend, who's, by the way, there's at least two shows this season that have a main female character who has blue hair with a white streak in it. And I think that's a very weird coincidence. It's kind of like having three fake Costcos last season.
Oh yeah. Three. Wait, Costico. There were three. I only remember two.
There were three shows that had a Costco.
Damn. I remember. What was the third one? There was a Sasuke and Peeps and there was the Sign of Affection, right?
Yeah, there was crap. Now I can't remember.
See, maybe there's only two.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, I swear to God, I'm pretty sure there's a third. Anyway, like they're childhood friends. He's got a lot of trauma because he lost his family, his brother, and his parents in a car accident. So he has trouble making connections or communicating with anybody except his childhood friend. Her older brother is super protective. So he decides this kid is too much of a threat to his adorable little sister. So he's going to kill him. So that leaves the rest of the family to try to protect him. And they get married at the end of the episode. Because it turns out the only way around this is to marry into the family. So we skip past all that will they, won't they hook up thing. You know, will he start dating his childhood friend? Well, he decided to get married to her at the end of the first episode.
Good.
But it's really silly. It's got a lot of, it's very kinetic and energetic as a show. You get hit with all these crazy characters right off the bat. And I'm like, I love this so far. Like just going only two episodes in, I fucking love this. I love the chemistry between him and his childhood friend is really cute. They're very cute together. All of these characters are hysterical with their stupid abilities. I'm like, this is a great setup. This is the kind of setup I would expect from a show in the 90s, right? This is some 90s shit, but I love it. Like, all right, well, I married into the crazy family. Now I have to deal with all the crazy family nonsense. Very worth watching, I would say. Everybody, give it a couple episodes.
Yeah, I wasn't really interested, but I think you sold me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's impossible to predict when people will like or not like a show, but I feel like people should at least give this a shot because I think it's worth it.
Hmm. All right. Give it a go.
On the maybe list. I was on the maybe list for the voice actor radio. Is that any good?
Yeah. I think, am I the only one watching that?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't gotten to that one yet.
So.
Yeah, it basically is, I mean, it's pretty kind of interesting. Basically, these two girls work together on this radio show, and they have like, but the thing is like their personalities are just not like when they're off air, they just don't fit in well together, sort of. So it's like, it's interesting watching them like, you know, put sort of it's all about like they have to put on an act to do the radio show together, but like also, you know, work together off camera for these things, and you know, it's two cute girls doing it. So yeah, pretty good.
So it's like cute anime girl version of Mike and Mike.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of good. Not so sports focused, but yeah, basically the, well, Mike and Mike is, well, I guess the comparison makes sense, but they're the same off camera and off and on camera, sort of was like their whole thing.
But like on camera they're pretending to be friends, and off camera they don't actually like each other.
Right, yeah.
That could be interesting. Is that like the whole show is built around like them trying to deal with each other when they're not on camera or on radio?
Sort of, yeah. Them trying to like work together and like, yeah, just try to, you know, more or less get along as they, you know, well, because they don't really know each other at first, so they're just like, you know, meeting up and trying to figure out how to do this together. Yeah.
I assume it's like a slice of life. It doesn't have like a giant like plot going on, right?
It's not slice of life, but wouldn't call it like, it's not. Yeah. I'm hard selling it, right?
It sounds like a slice of life. I don't know. I might watch it.
Well, I mean, it could be like more of a character drama than a slice of life, but like the plot's just driven by the character interactions.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, it's not, when I think of slice of life, I sort of think like, well, it's like there's an episode, it's episodic and there's different things that they do in every episode. It's not like that. Like they're not going to be, it's not going to be a radio show a week or whatever that they do, but it's just kind of like their relationship as they work together and are, you know, trying to figure out each other, and, you know, they're not very compatible at first, but they're trying to, you know, I guess become friends.
All right.
I think I've decided that since the topic is so pretty much just what we're doing right now, we might just like blend right into it.
Sure.
So I wanted to mention that Mushoku Tensei is something that I think most of us are watching, and even people that I don't think in my life watch a lot of anime, they also watch it. And I was happy that this first episode didn't make me cringe or like upset. It's just like a sweet little episode.
I have dropped the show.
Oh, okay. Right. There you go.
I almost dropped it, and then I had to write about it for ANN. Yeah.
I don't like their focusing on that like weird dude with the bowl haircut, and he's like,
"Oh, I hate him."
I have to imagine he's more tolerable in novel form, but like just hearing him constantly yelling all the time and just like being around, like I don't want you here. So
reading the novels, and then I got completely put off once the anime got to last season, and like I'm not reading that shit.
Yeah. Well, hey, he's horny again. Hooray!
Yeah. Can I ask? So, as spoilers, sort of. I dropped the show in season two, after all of his erectile deficiency plot was like, okay, so this is going to be the thing all season.
Yeah.
And I hear that in season three that whole issue has been solved.
Yes.
I just skip ahead and watch this now instead of having to deal with that kind of bullshit?
I mean, he was saved by Sylphie's magic vagina, so
yeah. Watch the finale of the last season, because their relationship is important.
I can just watch the finale.
I mean, I can just tell you what happens. She's like pretends to be a boy after losing her hair color, and then a bunch of shit happens, and then they adopt a slave.
Yeah.
About that part, and yep.
It wouldn't be an isekai if we didn't get some slavery in there.
There are isekai without slavery, and they're better for it.
I don't believe you.
No, it's true. There are a few. There's like three this season.
What, Inuyasha? We don't count that.
Does Inuyasha count?
I was asking a buddy of mine, like, man, have they ever done like feudal Japan isekai? And he's like, Inuyasha. I'm like, oh, well, shit. I didn't even think.
That is an isekai. Yep.
It's not an alternate world. It's supposed to be ancient Japan. It's like time travel.
Yeah, let's not get time travel in isekai.
I mean, you could say that Dr. Stone is an isekai.
No.
And it's time travel as well.
Not
I mean, a little bit. It's not an isekai. It's also terrible.
I mean, she falls down a well and finds herself in a different world full of fantasy creatures. Yet technically it's the past, but basically it's an isekai.
Boy.
Okay.
Is Alice in Wonderland? Well, in this thesis, I will.
Yeah.
Well, no, because Alice is actually in a mental hospital hallucinating. So.
Right, yeah.
The Chronicles of Narnia is an isekai.
Absolutely.
Yep. Technically, it is.
There's no technically about it. Technically.
But it's all inside a wardrobe.
That's just the second book.
All right. Let's hear from the Anite community what they thought of the new season. We didn't get a ton of answers. I think a lot of people just haven't watched a lot of the new stuff yet. And then we got a little bit of news, too, after that. First off, we have Tenchi mentioned, it's been a while since season 2 of Konosuba's season premiere. Seemed even more crazy and had me absolutely busting a gut. You guys watch the premiere of Konosuba?
I did.
Yeah. Very funny.
I reviewed it. It was funny.
The Tranquility Girl, the whole bit, was really, really funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Konosuba was just so good at really funny faces.
Yes, they're great.
Yes. There's just something about these special idiots.
Yeah, I think it's like people were complaining about the spinoff that was about Megumin and how it wasn't as good. And I think it's because you need Kazuma to be the straight bad kind of, and it to be a piece of shit, and you need darkness in there because it's the chemistry of all of them that makes it work. When you try to separate one character out, it doesn't work as well.
I watched 5 minutes of the Megumin spinoff and I was like, meh.
It had its moments, but for the most part, like I said, it really missed the kind of madcap energy that you get from the entire cast.
Yeah, I only made it a couple episodes through the Megumin as well.
That's
sad. But we got the whole gang back together. I'm back in.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, where did I leave off? Oh yeah, Luigi says Sound Euphonium. Of course, didn't say anything, but didn't have to say anything because we know it's great. I said in this that I can watch Kumiko and Reina all day. Next we have Alistair. The first episode of Jobless Reincarnation made me feel warm and fuzzy in the stomach. It is lovely what Rudius did for Sophie. Spoilers, he buys a house and they're going to get married.
Sure, yeah, sure they are.
Yep. I mean, I think it will. He promises he'll never leave again, but I'm sure a crazy talk.
No, I know for a fact that's not true. So.
All right, well, good. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
There you go.
I spoiled myself on the show by accident, so now everybody has to do it.
That's how it works. You screw yourself, screw everybody else. America.
Yep. Okay. Really, this is a lesson, people. Just don't go to shows, wikis, to find information, because you're just going to end up reading the wrong section and spoiling yourself. Mm-hmm. I've done it 3 times now.
And don't podcast a Requiem, or all your stories will be ruined. All right, next up, we have Pizza. I wish I could contribute to this, but I haven't watched anything. So there you go.
Thanks, Pizza.
Busy man. Thank you for your editing service. Editing song. Wow, my mouse disappeared. There it is.
I mean, to be fair, part of the problem is that we did give him like the world's longest preview podcast to edit because there were so many shows to talk about.
You did. You could talk.
It was my fault.
Yep.
I tried.
Did you do any silly voices?
I think I did a couple, actually, yeah.
All right, good. Get a little bit in there. Next up, we got Rei Kaze says, the many sides of voice actor radio is delight. It's fun to see them interact with each other as pros and get closer to each other. A salad bowl of eccentrics is the exact kind of average anime I look for every season. Not mind-blowing, but fun and easy to watch.
I meant to watch that. I haven't watched that one yet. It looked kind of okay.
Are you going to pick up kind of okay at this point?
Dude, I'm watching 28 shows. Do you have any idea how many of them are okay or lower?
Most of them are probably lower.
I'm watching 3 shows with the word reincarnated in the title.
That's not that
and much. All 3 of them are dog shit, and yet.
Yep.
One of them is drawn like a hentai. It just, it straight up is. I'm sorry, it is.
That's usually what all these shows do.
I'm just saying, like, the way that they draw, like, the way clothes fit, and then they do that. Obviously, none of you fine gentlemen have ever perused hentai of any kind.
Not at all.
But
no, not at all.
Is that way certain artists do where they draw like blush on body parts like legs and boobs and stuff like that? They do that in the show. Yeah, a lot. To the point where I'm like, did you get a hentai artist to animate the show?
Yep. You could tell if they like they draw the boob line when they're wearing like a super thick suit. It's like they're
yeah
line there. What are you doing?
Yeah, they do that. Like, there's a lot of like Shota stuff going on to show. It's really on the line in a lot of ways. Like, I may have to drop it if it goes too much farther.
No, great, thank you. You're on the list.
Oh my god, I'm already on all of this.
I mean, we
what's the horniest show this season?
Honestly, it might be that one.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, give me like half a second to think about it. Is there a hornier one? No? No, I think it's reincarnated as the seventh prince to something, something, something. It's got like a 40-word title. There is grandpa and grandma turn young again, and his granddaughters like thirst for him, which is very disturbing.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Now they're playing it as a joke, but it's still I wish they would cut that joke, because otherwise I like that show.
It's not a good joke. It's not a good joke.
It's funny in Futurama, and that's it.
I did do the nasty and the pasty.
Okay, we got one more from Alistair. The first episode of the new season of That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime is all I wanted it to be. Let the political conspiracies begin. Yeah, I watched this too. I was a little confused by what was going on with the guy. So Diablo took the body of that asshole dude nobody liked, and then he put some dude that was in prison, his brain, inside of that body. That's what happened?
That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, so now I can like that character now. I don't even know who the prisoner guy was, if he was important or not, but
he was like a really powerful wizard that jumps bodies, I think.
Yeah.
That's how he's been alive for so long. And then he took like a box containing roughly the king and put him back together. Yeah,
it was a box of king. Yep. Just a big old
box of king. It was a very... The first episode was okay. That second episode is fucking outrageous. Like, I there was like Legends of Galactic Heroes levels of guys in rooms talking and nothing fucking happening. I hate that. I know they're trying to set shit up, but I hate it. I hate... Hey, these people are talking. Now these people are talking. Now these people, they're all talking about Rimuru. It's like, you know, where's Poochie? When Poochie's not on the screen, everyone should be asking, where's Poochie? That's what this was. That's what the whole second episode was. And I was like, can we please have someone punch somebody?
I feel like I just don't really care about most of these characters anymore. Mm-hmm. It's gotten to the point where it's just very, very tropey, and they just keep introducing them. That being said, I do like Diablo. He's voiced by one of my favorite, Reagan, Cloud, you name it, he's done a million. I like him, but I don't really care about Rimuru. They keep showing the masked girl in the intro and the ending. Like, what's going to happen with her? Is she going to like have a story at some point? I don't know. But
yeah, I mean,
I guess
Diablo's pretty great. The best scene so far of the season has been that scene where they're all trying to explain stuff to the court, and he's standing behind them, and they're all like sweating.
So he just freezes
no,
him. Shut the fuck up.
He's like, no, you need to shut the fuck up. I swear to God. That part was great.
Yes.
But honestly, at this point, I would rather just have more slime diaries, because that was a lot more fun.
I think they jumped the shark when they made the dragon into like a comedic, just like side character. Like, he was a cool dragon. Why'd you do this?
I know he was a cool dragon. I like Vildor. He amuses me.
So like try hard over the top. Like, I'm trying to be funny, and like, it's just not.
I just liked it. Like, he just wants to read manga. Leave the poor man alone.
Yeah. But like, how many times do we have to laugh at, oh man, these medieval characters love manga. Like, come on, we get it. You're a manga artist. You want to make people love manga in your manga. Whatever. Was it a light novel first, actually? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so. What I can take away from this conversation, Hybrid, is that you're a hater.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's fine. It's more slime. It's not going to get any better, probably. But I'm going to keep watching it because I find it entertaining.
I will keep watching. Begrudgingly. It'll be my Triscuit show, where I just crunch loudly and not pay attention.
Dude, Triscuits are so underrated.
I thought everybody loved them. Are you kidding me? Get those Triscuit crisps.
Crisps. Those are not a thing in the UK, so I don't know what they are.
Yeah, they're called Crisps. Damn it,
Do you not have Triscuits at all?
They have Triscuit French fries.
Don't know what those are.
Don't have Triscuits? Okay, well, when I come to Scotland to watch the WWE's Clash at the Castle in Glasgow, I will bring you some Triscuits.
Sounds fun.
You're gonna, Kevin,
do you know what Cheez-Its are?
Cheez-Its? No.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
No.
Wow. You don't have Cheez-Its over there either?
We might have them, but under a different name, perhaps.
That's true. There could be a different name. That does happen.
It's just a bunch of tightly wound wheat with the biggest crunch you ever believe.
Yeah, you guys have Snickers, right? But I've heard like the Snickers are different, because I remember watching Paul Hollywood eat an American Snickers and be outraged.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't particularly like them, so I don't eat them, but we have them. I mean, they used to be called Marathon bars, and then they changed them to Snickers like about 30 years ago or something.
And nothing on a Toblerone, that's for sure.
Mm.
Especially right. A big Toblerone, which we deserve.
They're good. I like those.
All right, let's get into our takes, and then we'll do a little bit of news, because there's a couple fun things I want to talk about. We didn't talk about Windbreaker. I think the premise is really generic, and I don't really like most of the characters, but goddamn if the fight choreography isn't fantastic.
See, you just pissed off Gugsy. You just outraged Gugsy.
Well, outraged! Rah! No,
by the way, you got to pronounce the name correctly. It's Windbreaker!
I did that.
Windbreaker. It's in all caps, you have to say. It's Windbreaker!
Windbreaker!
There you go.
See, this one was different from Viral Hit, because like I actually liked the main character and was rooting for him and found his backstory to, you know, make sense and actually make him likable.
Yeah. He's got that Son Raku voice actor. I could tell it's the same guy. And he's just so over exaggerated in everything he does, which sometimes is good for comedy, but a lot of times it just feels very try hard. They're going to introduce more characters and maybe that'll bring me in. But if the next episode 3 doesn't really do it for me, I might just drop it.
Really? I'm with Gugsy. I thought it was great. Like, I liked all the characters. I love that he went there to like fight his way up like delinquent high, and then it turns out all the delinquents are actually like,
I appreciate they're all
local
nice
heroes.
Just really nice guys. I do appreciate that.
I love that he doesn't like people are nice to him. He doesn't know how to deal with it. I love the girl who works at the cafe. That's a great character already.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Maybe it took me a little time to warm up.
Didn't you like blonde guy in the second episode? That guy amused me.
I hated that guy.
I hated him too.
I knew Gugsy was going to hate him. I was like, Gugsy's going to hate this guy.
You kind of need to have that character where it's like, oh, I'm the voice of the viewer who's not a good fighter. I'm like, no, you don't. Just don't put this character in here. I don't know.
I found him amusing. But I am a Gugsy. I like that show. I like the setup. I found the main character very likable. And you're right. The fights are just really good. Like, they're really good at dropping fights.
Like, you're watching Tokyo Revengers, and every now and then you get a good shot. But in this show, it's just like, no, it's single shot. Everything, like, makes sense. It's dynamic. Like, wow, this is impressive. And they get that shot of them putting on the Windbreaker in the intro just, like, 17 times. Okay.
Windbreaker! I always imagine it like an announcer in a fighting game is saying it.
I think of the old SNK beach game. What was it called? Beach some striker. Forget it. I can't remember. Windjammers.
Oh, right. Yeah. Windjammer. Yeah. I love Windjammer. That was a great game.
They should make a Windjammers anime. Anyways, what about you guys? Anything that really stood out to you from the new season?
I said before. The first episode of the train to the other.
That was my answer too.
Incredibly striking. Just madness. Mm-hmm. Nothing else comes close to just the sheer insanity of that.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer too. It was like the train, last train at the end of the world. I was like, damn, what the fuck was that? I don't know, but I'm 100% in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight probably.
If I can't say that one because Doc took it, I would say there's another show. The title's been kind of butchered in English down to Mysterious Disappearances.
Okay.
The Japanese title is closer to like Maiden's Mysterious Disappearances and like Yokai or something like that. But I was gonna say I should have, when you asked me what the horniest show is, I should have said this one.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of focus on the character having like triple E cups.
Oh,
but it's a show about like running into like an urban kind of fantasy thing where this person worked at a bookstore, and they run into occult stuff, and it has vibes of Dark Gathering. It's not nearly as good so far. It's not nearly as good a first episode because it doesn't have, you know, the little girl who's like the best character ever.
Yeah,
but you know, her and her coworker who's a kid, but obviously is also somehow connected to the supernatural. They had a good chemistry. Had the weird kind of comedy, but also holy shit. You know, that's terrible kind of vibes that Dark Gathering had. So I really like that. I really want Doc to watch it because I think he'd like it. Well, you just have to put up with a couple boob shots.
I've added it to my list, so we'll see. I'll maybe try and get around to that.
But that one, because the synopsis of it wasn't very strong in the preview. I was kind of curious about it, and I came out of it going, I really want to see more of this. So I guess that would be the second strongest impact after Train to the End of the World, because holy shit.
So is that on Crunchyroll?
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Cooks, is there anything you want to talk about before we get in the news?
I think I have covered everything that I've been watching. I guess Kaiju number 8 is probably the thing that I'm most interested in going forward. Besides all the sequels, and whenever I get through Euphonium, finally.
Yeah, I feel like Kaiju number 8 is the hype show this season. That's definitely where a lot of Crunchyroll's marketing is being put into.
I mean, they did a live stream of the first episode as it broadcast in Japan, which is unusual.
Yeah, so they're really throwing their weight behind that one.
And there's a day one dub of it as well, of course.
Nice.
I do want to throw out one show. It's called Dragon Raja, like Blaze of Tomorrow or something like that.
Good title, damn. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I only watched it because the key art had a redhead in it. And it also had like a really long title. So I was like, what is this? And it's a Chinese show, which usually sends me screaming away. Because like I don't want to insult the entire country, but so far their anime productions have been very poor.
Take that, China, damn.
But this is actually pretty cool. It's like a weird alternate version of China with their and he's at Dragon Hogwarts. Basically, he goes to a college where they learn how to fight dragons. It's very very weird, but I find it interesting enough. Like the energy is so weird because every Chinese show is like that, right? It keeps making cultural references that nobody outside of China is going to understand. And it has like it's somewhere between like and because it has obviously it's being made by people who make anime, but it's all written by you know Chinese people, so it's like it's somewhere between China and Japan in this production. But it's just I don't know if you're looking for something way off from the rest of the season to watch, that one might be worth your time, especially if you happen to like Chinese redhead. Cultural references and ridiculously attractive redheads.
Did you have freckles?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Well, put that on the list then.
She was obviously designed for like a certain group of people.
Mary Jane fans. All right. We got a few topics here for news. Definitely not as heavy as last time. Okay, let's just start with this one. This is about video games. I just thought this was really funny. I actually heard this one recently. So the BAFTA... I forget what the BAFTA... The British Academy of Film and Television Arts, BAFTA, revealed the winners of its 20th Game Awards on Thursday. Released a list of the top 20 iconic video games characters of all time. We're going to skip all the awards. Baldur's Gate 3-1, yada, yada, yada. But the list is funny, and I think this is another case of, one fan base kind of, like, going ham and, like, we got to make this character win. Whenever they have, like, user polls, like, the first or second character is always like, what? Really?
And not only is it a user poll, it's a British user poll, so it's extra weird.
It says from around the world, but it's probably mostly Brits, if I had to guess. Who else is following BAFTA?
No one else follows the BAFTAs.
Yeah,
the so BAFTAs do have great trophies, by the way. I don't know if you've ever seen them. It's a pretty good trophy.
I mean, I'm British, and I don't even bother following the BAFTAs, so who knows?
Hey, there you go, from a real Brit.
I thought you were Scottish.
Well,
you're saying you're British now.
I can identify both, it's fine.
Yeah, it's a fun question. Like as they said on Top Gear, if somebody is successful, they're British, and if they're not successful, they're Scottish.
Hmm. It's like Rhett can be both Californian and American. So
yes,
out of my America. All right, so going down from number 20, we have Nathan Drake from Uncharted, and we'll just go up 19. Ellie Williams from Last of Us, 18. Kazuma Kiryu from Yakuza, 17. Asterion from Baldur's Gate 3. Wow, that was fast. Actually, he's been around, right, in other games.
No, that was his first game. Nope. Okay. And that seems like some recency bias.
A little bit. 16, Cloud Strife. Recency bias, am I right?
No.
No?
Okay. He should be higher.
15, yeah, he should probably be a little higher, even though 7's mid. 15, oh, Crash Bandicoot.
My God.
14, Solid Snake. He should probably be higher. Steve from Minecraft, the guy that we all love, Steve.
I didn't even know he had a name until he was in Smash Bros.
Me neither. Just anyways, number 12, Pikachu, which I would think would be like top 3.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, Pokemon's this low? That's some bullshit.
We have another wow. So 11 is Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption 2. That's baffling to me.
I mean, that character's really. I mean, that game's really popular. People really liked Arthur.
But like of all time,
I'm one of them. I would not put him in all time, but yeah,
above Pikachu is like that's kind of questionable.
bunch of old people voting on this. Shadowheart from Baldur's Gate 3. So
great character, but like first of all, too recent, but also above Astarion, absolutely not. Astarion's a million times better as a character.
He's the guy that everyone knows. He won that award in the Game Awards, I think.
Above yeah, he Pikachu. Won the voice actor doing. Okay. Above Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Above Cloud Strife.
Way cooler than Cloud Strife or Pikachu. Kratos from God of War. Which actually yeah, you know what? Kratos is a top 10 character. I'm gonna allow that.
That position actually seems reasonable. The new games have made this character much more interesting than the first three games did.
I'll grant you that.
Boy. Where did I leave off? Master Thief from the Halos.
Master Chief?
Why is Link number 7? He should be like number.
Which 10. Link?
Is excuse me?
They're not all the same Link. I don't know why the people always have
discussion. Is it Link?
Yeah, all the Links are different people. And that's why they're
so be all be Link. Different. All 20 different Links.
They're all Links in a chain.
By the way, it's from The Legend of Zelda, you children that are listening right now. Pac-Man, number 6.
Pac-Man's not a character. He is.
He's had a lot of character games where he's like,
I know they made games like Pac-World later on that made him a character, but come on, he's mostly just a yellow pizza slice.
Delicious yellow pizza slice. Okay, so this is actually probably the craziest one. Sackboy, number 5.
That one blew my mind. I was like, who? Do people really like those games that much? I didn't think that game was any good, to be honest with you.
Let's do. That's it.
He's just a hacky sack with arms.
His games aren't even very good. They're creative and clever, but otherwise,
they're interesting as a tool for people to make levels, but as an actual game, it's just mid, man.
And as a character, he just smiles and makes silly faces.
Yeah, see, the thing, he's not really a character. He's a mascot. That's not the same thing.
Yeah. All right, well, this one makes sense. Sonic from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I think he had a couple movies. I think he's Shadow's brother.
I do love... It's the Year of Shadow, you know.
Year of the Shadow, I know. Sun got blotted out. The man, live and learn.
Does that mean that we're going to get another movie of the Shadow with Alec Baldwin?
All of our viewers definitely... Viewers, listeners know that reference.
Nobody remembers that movie. I love that movie.
Nobody remembers that movie. Agent 47, top 3 recognizable video game characters. Bold people come back, baby.
He did get 2 movies.
I guess, you know what? Yeah, he had movies, and that's all it takes. I guess whoever has the most movies.
Well, I mean, if you're going with, like, you know, recognizable characters, it helps if you have movies.
You're right.
One of them was Timothy Oliphant, for God's sake.
Number 2, I don't know if you guys have heard of this one, Mario.
Nope.
Mario from Mario Brothers back in the 80s? Really?
I think it's based on that SNL skit where that dude from The Last of Us was playing Mario.
Wait, you mean Captain Lou Albano?
Yeah. He also had, there was like a porn with that guy who's fat. Oh, dude,
there's so many more than one.
His name, damn it. Anyways, number 1 is Lara Croft, who also had a lot of movies.
Who happens to be a British character, interestingly enough.
Get out.
Just a really, really strange list by a group of people that I would not trust with any video game knowledge to begin with.
Brian, where are the Roblox characters, for God's sakes?
It's Roblox
Kirby. There's no Kirby.
Yeah, where the fuck Kirby? Is Kirby? Where's Samus?
Yeah, exactly. Man.
It's like, so weird. Why is there only one Pokemon character?
It would be more
weird.
They could have done like only one per franchise, but then again, Baldur's Gate 3 had 2. So
you got neither Ratchet nor Clank, but you have Crash fucking Bandicoot.
Imagine if Clank was on here, but not Ratchet.
Dax, but not or Daxter, but not Jax.
Yep, those are both. Yeah,
no inclusion of Ping or Pong. No inclusion.
Yeah, where's the ball from Pong?
Which one's the ball and which one's the rod?
The left one. No inclusion of the spaceship from Asteroids.
No inclusion of any of the pieces from Tetris.
Yeah, oh Jesus.
Hellbox should have fucking won. Way better than the fucking...
No, the dude, Box. Box for sure.
Box is the worst piece.
Box the...
No Voss saying, you know, telling us the definition of insanity.
Yeah. Just a strange...
It's a really weird... All the characters kind of make sense, but the order makes no sense. And Lara Croft, number 1, is just baffling.
Yep. And I love saying it because the BAFTAs. The Baffin. Aha! Yep. Good job, BAFTA. You did it. Anyways, we thought that was interesting. This is actually an important news topic, Rec. What's going on?
Well, we're finally getting Berserk back. I mean, back in its new form, being run by Koji Mori and his team, the team of assistants that used to work for Miura before his unfortunate passing. Mm. So obviously, people have mixed thoughts on whether the manga should continue. We have his assistants. We have Mori, who says he was told by Miura how the manga was supposed to end. So we're getting it one way or the other. And it's the announcement. It's being released in Young Animal magazine on April 26th, with one chapter getting a color page too. So we're going forward with it.
Well, so that's just the next volume. So the Miura's assistants have already done, I think, a single volume of the manga. I think maybe volume 42 might be by them. So this, I think they've just taken a break after this one and they've returned to it.
Okay. Either way, it's back. Characters.
Yeah. And, you know, I've skimmed over them and the art still looks pretty good. I mean, these are obviously very talented artists. And this obviously learned a lot from Miura, so they're doing a good job with copying his style. I don't know if it will be as good, but
it would be impossible, really. But
yeah.
And it's just like with the Wheel of Time, right? When they had his notes and they ended the series, but you're never gonna be completely satisfied because you don't know if that's how it was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I mean? Wouldn't be, but it'll be good enough, hopefully, to provide at least some kind of closure.
Yeah, I think the majority opinion is it's better to have it than not. Because the work deserves to finish, but part of me is always going to be like, I don't know about this.
And with writing, you always iterate and change your ideas. So even if he had all of his ideas before he passed away, it's very likely he would have made some changes towards the end to like tweak and make it better. So now he might be like, well, we have to stick to the vision, and they won't make tweaks to make it better. Who knows?
No.
Because imagine if Tolkien hadn't finished Return of the King and then Christopher Tolkien had put together his notes to write the end of it. Would it have been the same? Probably not.
Definitely not.
I mean, Tolkien went back and rewrote the entire thing after finishing it as well anyway.
That's true.
Extensively redraft the entire Lord of the Rings, so who knows what we would have ended up with.
Plus, he cut an epilogue that he intended to cut or to keep. Everybody kept telling him to cut it out, so he eventually cut it. Not to mention, he made changes to the text of The Hobbit 30 years after it was published. One little note from this article that I thought was fun too. Not only are the new chapters back, but and they're getting a color page, which is always cool. Although I like trying to color in those backgrounds, I feel terrible for whoever had to do that. Discotech, as we all know, does God's work, including releasing the OVAs of Kenichi coming up in a month or so, which I'm very hyped for. But they also released their version, a re-release of the 97 Berserk, which is the only good animated Berserk so far. And apparently it's sold out immediately, and it's in such high demand that Discotech released a warning about scalpers. Like, that's how popular that shit was. Just a monstrously popular thing forever, probably.
I'm happy with my DVDs. I don't feel I need to upgrade to Blu-ray. The DVDs are fine.
Wait for 8K.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know about animation, hand-drawn animation in 8K, man. You start seeing a lot of the like the lines and the animation errors.
See their smudges of their thumbs on the screen. It's like, damn, I need to see that.
It's kind of like, you ever seen those artist edition, like oversized books that they put out, like Dark Horse puts them out sometimes? It's like famous arcs of comics, but like the rough drafts, like they're working drafts. So you can see where they made changes and out of stuff. It's fascinating, but I don't know if you want to see that while you're watching like the regular show.
No, I got some drafting art books for FLCL and Gurren Lagann. From the director, all of his like storyboard pages. That's sick. But yeah, you don't want to see that in the main show. All right, we have some other news stories, but like we probably don't need to do those. Those are the two that I felt like we really need to talk about. Some weird pacing this time because of the nature of the topic. Should we just wrap things up there?
Sure.
I'm the boss. I can do what I want. And that's what we're doing. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and talking anime with me. I've been Hypermink. Thank you, Requiem, Gugsy, and Dr. Kev. We'll have more anime takes. We didn't get through all the season. There's actually more than that, believe it or not. So next time, you'll have to listen to Requiem and the gang talk about that. All right.
We'll be, you know, two or three episodes in by then, so you'll get maybe some better formed takes.
Some better takes, get some drops. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, some shows could completely shit the bed. You know, they could be about, like, a show about zombies on a train that starts out really good and then goes completely to hell.
Oh, boy, I miss Cabinaria. It was supposed to be real good.
It sucked. It looked amazing, but the story completely fell apart. It was a shame.
Wow, we agree on something. Amazing. And next time, I will talk about My Hero Academia.
Hey, where was your One Piece minute for this episode?
I was literally thinking about doing a One Piece minute, and I'm like, yeah, I don't have to do that.
Just do it. Do the One Piece minute. How's One Piece right now?
So 15 years ago, Luffy fought a man named Rob Lucci. And last week, he fought him again.
Get on with it.
It's actually fantastic. One Piece is really good right now, and I will not apologize for it. Yeah.
Are you serious that the guy came back like from 15 years ago?
Well, the thing is, he's part of like this organization that works for the government, and you know, they brought him back after such a long, long time. And we all know the rules of Shonen. When you fight a guy, when the main character fights another character, if they're not the rival character, they have no chance of winning. It would make no sense for them to win in the second fight. And yeah, Luffy basically went from making his blood boil so his rubber body would move faster to becoming a god that turns everything he touches into Looney Tunes. So he's gone a little different.
I feel like the stakes have dropped significantly in that show. And I mean, no. If he can do that, like exactly, you start running into the Superman problem where you have to really bend shit to try to find an actual threat.
And bend shit. Yeah. No, shit is happening. Although they're reaching the end of the story, so like some characters are. They die.
They're reaching the end of the story.
Yeah, we're in like the back third, back fourth, maybe. Yeah, we got like another 5 years, maybe.
We're reaching the last 5 years of the story.
We're reaching it like we're reaching the end of this podcast.
We were. Hello. Oh! Hello. You want to keep dragging it on? I can talk about One Piece, but we're not going to do that.
I
already thank you guys. What's up?
All right.
All right.
See you guys later. And remember, Gugsy hates dogs.
Yep. Always right.
Bye-bye.